My father, Michael Roth, was born in Ferihegyarmat, Hungary on December 6, 1922. At 3 years old, he lost his father to pneumonia, leaving his mother, Rachel, to single-handedly raise him and his three siblings. With having no one to rely on but herself, my grandmother wasted no time. At home, she was the mother who tenderly raised her children with love and affection. Outside the home, she was an outstanding businesswoman. In fact, she was such a great businesswoman that she owned the only building supply company in Ferihegyarmat. And for the next 21 years, life was good in Ferihegyarmat. But by April of 1944, all the Jews from Hungary were rounded up and put into ghettos. My father, his mother, and two sisters were put into the Matasalka ghetto, where they lived in very cramped and tight quarters. After 2 months, they were put on a cattle car and shipped off to Auschwitz. During these difficult times, having family around you could help you get through tough times. But in Auschwitz, my father was separated from his family, leaving him with no one to turn to for support. Within 2 weeks, my father was sent to the Melk concentration camp and spent the next 10 months doing slave labor for the Germans, digging tunnels into the mountainside. As the weeks and months went by, the seasons came and went. In Melk, regardless of the weather conditions, work continued for 24 hours a day in three shifts. If it was hot and sunny, there was no water to drink, you still worked. If it was raining and cold, you worked. If it was snowing and frigid, and all you had were the wooden shoes on your feet to protect you from frostbite, you still had to work. Every day, my father had to walk over an hour to get to work, to the work site, and back to camp when his shift was over 8 hours later. Despite these horrendous conditions, my father woke up and went to sleep every day with only one thought in his mind. That one day, I am going to be liberated. My father didn't survive on food, because there wasn't enough to go around. In Melk, most people didn't die from a gunshot. They died from starvation and a lack of will to live. My father survived on hope. In fact, at one point, my father became very ill and was sent to the camp hospital. It wasn't really much of a hospital because they weren't treating anyone over there. The only advantage that my father had of being there was so that he did not have to work. Every day he would wake up in the hospital and he would see the people around him didn't make it through the night. My father didn't survive on medicine. He survived on hope. My father truly believed that one day he would be liberated. After a few weeks, he got better and went back to work in the tunnels. And after 10 months, my father was sent to the Ebensee concentration camp. By the time the prisoners arrived in Ebensee, they were suffering from extreme exhaustion, malnutrition, and hunger. Ebensee was known as an end destination. People were sent to Ebensee not to work, but to die. Even then, my father never gave up hope that he would be liberated. And 4 weeks later, on the morning of May 4, 1945, he woke up to find that the hundreds of Nazis that were guarding the camp had left. And within an hour, American troops had arrived. A young soldier walked up to my father and said, "You are liberated. You are free." My father was too weak to even express any emotion and could hardly speak a word. But you know how they say that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And if you would have seen my father's eyes, you would have seen them beaming from joy as he turned to the young American soldier and said, "Where were you for so long?" After liberation, my father was able to make it back home to his town in Ferihegyarmat, where he was reunited with his two sisters. And within 3 weeks, they had gone to the Bergen-Belsen displaced persons camp, where they spent the next 2.5 years living the Jewish life. Just weeks after liberation, Jewish survivors lived as a community in Bergen-Belsen, organizing political, cultural, and religious activities. Bergen-Belsen was the site of an astounding rebirth of family, with an average of 20 weddings per day. My father met and married his first wife in Bergen-Belsen. I'm from his second. His two sisters were married there as well. You know, one evening last week, I was having dinner with my father, and I said to him, "Dad, you've been through so much in your life. You survived the concentration camps. You had many challenges in your life. What is it that got you through it all? Dad, what message would you want to give to the next generation to help them get through their challenges?" And my father thought for a moment and then looked at me and said, "Son, 70 people from my town went to the concentration camps, and only 7 people came back. I didn't survive because I had more food than they did. I survived because I had more hope than they did. I always believed that one day I would get out. I believed that one day I would be liberated. I believed that I still had a whole future in store for me. I would tell the young generation of today that when you have hope, you can cope. I would tell them that hope is a powerful drug. It can get you through anything in life. As long as you have hope, you can get through any challenge." And I couldn't believe this, but if you believe in the law of attraction as I do, just the other day, I came across an amazing poem that really drives this message home. And when I showed it to my father, he said, "Wow, if everyone in the concentration camps had this poem embedded within their hearts, more people would have survived. Lewis, you gotta share this poem with them." So here it is. It's written by Charles Remigio. "Never give up. Never lose hope. Always have faith. It allows you to cope. Trying times will pass, as they always do. Just have patience and your dreams will come true. So put on a smile. You'll live through your pain. Know it will pass, and strength will you gain." Thank you.